Please be seated, and I invite Brahman Evans to come and share the scripture.
A reading from John. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrapping, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she went, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be a gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her.
The resurrection stories are a jumble. They don't fit neatly together between the four Gospels. They're a mishmash because they are stories of impossible possibility made real. They are stories of mystical experiences remembered, retold again and again, and finally written down decades later. So we don't know exactly what happened on Easter. We can't know. But something powerful happened. Something happened that turned a group of frightened, grieving disciples hiding out for fear of their lives into people who stood on the streets of Jerusalem a few weeks later proclaiming Jesus as the risen Christ. The other Gospels describe several women coming to the tomb. John focuses in on Mary Magdalene. She found the tomb empty and ran to tell Simon and the other disciple. And they came and they saw that it was empty. And the scripture says they believed. I guess they believed that it was empty, because then it goes on to say they didn't understand yet that he was going to rise from the dead. They couldn't understand. And so they saw it empty and then they left, but Mary stayed there crying, grieving for all that was lost. And when a man approached and spoke to her, she assumed he was a gardener. She did not recognize him. It's a common theme in several of the resurrection appearances. Something about him was different enough. Maybe he looked different. Or maybe they just couldn't imagine, couldn't possibly recognize, because they couldn't believe it could be true. "Sir," she begged, "sir, if you've taken him away, tell me where he is, and I will take his body away." She was focused on his body, on his physical presence, longing to see him and to touch him one last time. But then he called her name, Mary, and she realized who it was. "Don't hold on to me," Jesus said, "because I have not ascended to God, but go tell my brothers that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." What strange and mysterious words. To Mary, he seemed to be saying, "You don't need my physical body anymore. You don't need to touch me, to hold on to me. You don't need my presence here with you in the flesh. From now on, that is not how you will know me, not how you will relate to me, not how you will be with me. Go, tell my brothers that I'm alive, that I'm completing the connection. I am finalizing the union between each of you in my Abba, my God, and your God. All that I have said to you, all that I have taught and promised, is now being made complete." So Mary, the first Christian preacher, ran to tell the others, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them what he had said. Sometime back, I heard about a person whose mother had died. And one day in his grief, he had one of those moments where he felt his mother's presence very close. And then he seemed to hear her voice saying to him, "I can be here even better for you now." That's it. I think that's what Jesus was trying to say to them on those resurrection appearances. "I'm alive, I am real, and I can be here for you even better now." He was pointing them to a new way of relating to him, a better way of relating, a way that is no longer dependent on his physical presence, no longer tied down to place or time. In his resurrection appearances, Jesus was pushing them to understand, as he still pushes us to understand, "You know me. You know how to be with me. You have me always with you. I am in your hearts. I am in you and with you all the time. And you can recognize me and know me through your hearts. I'm here for you always through my spirit, which I put into you. Through my spirit, you each have your own direct connection with me and with the loving God that I have revealed to you." In resurrection, the spirit of Jesus was made alive beyond the limits of space and time, set free to be within each of them and all of us, wherever we are, whoever we are. As alive today as he was then, as alive for us as he was for them. Easter calls us to live into that, to live into resurrection. Easter challenges us to live into the good news that the Spirit of Christ is here, alive, and in our world, no matter what may happen. That his love and his presence and his power is with us. Easter calls us into spirit-filled living, into heartful living. And it is a choice we make, a choice we're called to make time and time again, because there is much of evil and suffering and pain and brokenness and death in our world, and we choose each day how we will live. Do we choose to live into anger and hurt and resentment? Do we choose to live into small-minded fearfulness? Or do we choose life? Do we choose faith and hope? Do we choose love and forgiveness? This week, we saw a fire destroy much of Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. As I watched, like many of you, I felt sadness. But I also saw and heard people of faith, old and young, who were watching the fire and were singing songs of faith and hope. And I remembered another cathedral. Coventry Cathedral in England was bombed, along with most of the city, in 1940 by the Nazi planes. The very next morning, the cathedral's provost stood in the charred ruins, and the Spirit of Christ spoke to him. The Spirit of Resurrection said to him, "We must make a witness. Not a memorial to war and to hate, but a memorial, a witness to love and forgiveness and new beginnings." And so they decided to keep the ruins and rebuild a cathedral next door, but to preserve the ruins. And behind the altar table, the charred altar table, they inscribed the words on the wall, "Father, forgive them." And with two of the beams that had fallen from the roof and landed in the shape of a cross, they set them up as a cross behind the altar table. And with nails that they found among all the ruins, they began to create small crosses of nails. And they created something called the Community of the Cross of Nails of Coventry Cathedral, which has become and continues to be a center of reconciliation and peacemaking. Starting with reconciliation between British and Germans, and now spanning across the world in over 60 countries. They are committed to healing the wounds of history, to learning to live with difference, and to building a culture of peace. Out of the ruins of war and destruction, those people of faith chose love and forgiveness. They chose resurrection. Poet Wendell Berry describes our choices and the summons to resurrection this way in his poem, Manifesto, The Mad Farmer Liberation Front. Love the quick profit, the annual raise and vacation without pay? Want more of everything ready-made? Be afraid to know your neighbors and to die. And you will have a window in your head. Not even your future will be a mystery anymore. Your mind will be punched in a card and shut away in a little drawer. When they want you to buy something, they will call you. When they want you to die for profit, they will let you know. So, friends, every day do something that won't compute. Love the Lord. Love the world. Work for nothing. Take all you have and be poor. Love someone who does not deserve it. Denounce the government and embrace the flag and hope to live in that free republic for which it stands. Give your approval to what you cannot understand. Praise ignorance. For what man has not encountered, he has not yet destroyed. Ask questions that have no answers. Invest in the millennium. Plant sequoias. Say that your main crop is the forest that you did not plant and you will not live to harvest. Say that the leaves are harvested when they have rotted into the mold. call that prophet. Prophesy such returns. Put your faith in the 2 inches of humus that will build under the trees every 1,000 years. Listen to carrion. Put your ear close and hear the faint chattering of the songs that are to come. Expect the end of the world and laugh. Laughter is immeasurable. Be joyful, though you have considered all the facts. So long as women do not go cheap for power, please women more than men. Ask yourself, will this satisfy a woman satisfied to bear a child? Will this disturb the sleep of a woman near to giving birth? Go with your love to the fields and lie easy in the shade. Rest your head in her lap. Swear allegiance to what is nighest your thoughts. As soon as the generals and the politicos can predict the motions of your mind, lose it. Leave it as a sign to mark the false trail, the way you did not go. Be like the fox, who makes more tracks than necessary, some in the wrong direction. Practice resurrection. Practice resurrection. Last year, in another old, beautiful church in Belgium, I saw a 16th century stone carving called The Resurrection of Christ. It is a bas-relief. The tomb and the people's bodies and faces carved so they curve out a few inches from the wall, giving only partial shape to the figures. The other people in the carving are soldiers who are falling back in awe. But what is stunning, it spoke to me in a way no artwork I've ever seen about resurrection spoke to me. What is stunning is the figure of Christ. His lower body is in the wall in bas-relief like all the rest, standing on the edge of the tomb. But his head and shoulders literally emerge out of the wall into 3 dimension. It's as if the stone itself is coming alive. He is reaching out in love and blessing, emerging from stone and death, filled with life. Inspired by this sculpture, a man wrote these words: Christ is risen. Alleluia. Why look for one who is alive among the dead? Why look in the past for the one who lives in the present? Why seek in the clouds for one who is in the center, the very hollow of our lives, the heart of our lives? In our doubts, he is our faith. In our sorrows, he is our joy. In our failures and our losses, he is our hope. In our night, he is our life. Risen Lord Jesus, come roll the stones from our tombs. Open a break in the walls of our imprisonments. Calm our anxious hearts. Enlarge our horizon to the dimensions of your love. And give us grace to see you, to recognize you in the hearing of your word, in the bread of your table, and in the hearts of all people, your brothers and sisters. Amen.